I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Plenty to go over today, as usual, but from 9 to 11 o'clock, this is where you can come. It's a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. People are holding to no party, no politician. We're going to certainly talk about that today. As we do all day. But there were a couple of quotes, a couple of things that came up this weekend that really kind of set me off on a bit of a tear that may manifest itself in a bit of a rant today. But we'll take a look at that and see. Amy Coney Barrett is being grilled right now by Congress. Well, half grilled, I guess. She'll be medium rare by the time it's all done. So the Democrats take their swing at her. So we'll see what comes of that. Won't be much. There's nothing the Democrats can do to stop her from sitting on the court. So we'll see what they do time-wise and all of that. We'll start off today as we do with every day with our quotes of the day. I checked the markets before I came on air. Markets are all green. They're all anxiously awaiting the new stimulus package. We've got a stock market that now only trades on what the Federal Reserve does and what our federal government does in terms of handing out money to its citizens. Now, I got to tell you, that doesn't feel real capitalist. That doesn't feel real American to me, but that's where we found ourselves. Quotes of the day today. This is from a guy named Wolf Richter. These aren't the succinct quotes I usually come to you with, but a couple of articles that I wrote that I read this weekend that I thought were interesting. Wolf Richter is a financial commentator. He's got a great site called Wolf Street. If you want to see the numbers parsed, it's pretty wonky. I mean, it's a financial news site for sure, but some very interesting stuff there. Wolf Richter says, who would have thought a few trillion dollars channeled into the right pockets would be such a big deal? Now everything depends on U.S. stimulus. The stock market, the wealth of the wealthiest, and consumer spending, thereby not only the entire U.S. economy, but also imports from other countries and thereby the economies of China and the rest of the world. The whole world now runs on U.S. Treasury stimulus. We're going to talk about that a little bit today because Trump has weighed in again. Trump's been kind of all over the map over the past couple of weeks on new stimulus for the American people, and he made a comment that led to what is probably going to be my rant of the day. Brandon Smith, he writes for a website called Alt Market, another financially driven website, said, ever since the crash of 2008, a trend has developed in U.S. election debate, the near complete avoidance of serious discussion about the economy. Ron Paul was the last candidate to attack the subject with any energy, and that was quite a while ago now. The economic decline of our nation is being aggressively ignored, even though it is the most important issue of the past century. The economic decline of our nation is being aggressively ignored, even though it is the most important issue of the past century, and he's absolutely right about that. Really, the economy and the financial structure of the United States and the problems that we're experiencing there are responsible for, I will say, just about everything else. The calls for socialism, the riots in the streets, these are symptoms of a failing economic system that has ended up crushing the middle class and channeling a great deal of wealth to the 0.01% at the very top. So it is important. It just doesn't. Politicians don't like to discuss it because they know they're not going to make any changes to it. They'd prefer to just not talk about it. Maybe if we don't mention it. Well, we're going to mention it here. It was great this weekend to turn on college football Saturday morning and see a huge crowd. The first game that I turned on was the Texas A&M football game. And I got to tell you, it was so nice to see. I guess it was Texas A&M and Florida game. For some reason, this incredibly smart disease, COVID, is not, it doesn't like heights apparently, because it looked to me like the second tier was pretty well packed. People socially distance on the, you know, those the stands that were closer to ground level. Those were kind of empty. But once you got to the second tier, I don't know exactly what that meant. But maybe COVID has a fear of heights. And so the higher you get, you know, this thing, it doesn't attack protesters, but it attacks churchgoers. It doesn't attack anybody before 10 p.m., but it attacks after 10 p.m. That's why they have the curfews. I mean, this is a very clever disease, I have to admit. But it was nice just to see, and the reason for that, just to see a big crowd doing something normal. Now, I love college football, particularly SEC football, but the game was almost secondary to me, although that was a very good game. To seeing a crowd, because there have been a lot of large events going on around the country for the past 3 to 4 months. The Sturgis bike rally, there have been a couple of bike rallies, there have been these parties in the Ozarks, there have been all kinds of big events around the country, but they're rarely ever televised. And if you notice, we have not seen a bunch of headlines. After 500,000 bikers, mask-free, got together in Sturgis for their annual motorcycle rally, you did not hear tales of widespread death and hospitalization, all as this super spreader event from Sturgis, because it didn't happen. The problem is there was not a whole lot of video footage of 500,000 human beings congregating in close quarters and in bars when walking around maskless. So it is nice to see that now we are at least seeing these things right in front of us, like this Texas A&M game, where they're allowing these people into the stands, because what we will find is that people go, oh, look at there. People can be together in close quarters for a long period of time, screaming at the top of their lungs, and nothing bad happens. There will be no people dropping dead from the Texas A&M football game, just like there was nobody dropping dead from the untelevised Sturgis motorcycle rally. So it was nice to see that. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss was wearing what I can only describe as possibly a pair of baby blue panties on his face. I don't know if anybody saw the was more of a bandana-style thing. It kind of covered his nose and then draped below his chin, but there was no attachment to it. I mean, it was completely worthless. Absolutely. It looked like a pair of crotchless thongs that were draped around his face for the entirety of the game, providing absolutely nothing but visual reassurance that he was, air quotes here in the studio, doing something. But it was absolutely a completely worthless virtue signal to the authorities that are forcing these coaches to wear these ridiculous masks in the first place. But we have reached absolute peak absurdity. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a video going around of what looks like a high school dance. I don't know if I can do this. It's so unfortunate to not be on a televised medium to show you this, but maybe you can find it. There's a high school dance of boys and girls dancing back to back with their arms interlocked. Hey, you know how you do that, right? You kind of reach behind you and the person behind you reaches behind themselves and you lock kind of at the elbows. You do that kind of thing. Guys will do this to lift somebody up on their back and crack their back, something like that. But this hooking of arms behind their back, so you had a room full. It was the most absurd, ridiculous thing I've ever seen. All of these boys and girls dressed to the nines and all of their formal dance attire, suits and ties and maybe tuxes, and girls in their dresses and corsages, back to back with a mask on, arms clasped, as they kind of swayed and moved about the dance floor. And somebody was recording it. Now, the good thing, good with a question mark behind it, this may have been in England. I did not see anybody that referenced where this video was, but it was somebody filming from a balcony. So you can look down upon this most absurd exercise that human beings may have been involved in quite some period of time, I've got to tell you. So it might not have been in the U.S., but it certainly does not mean that it's not possible here and that has gone unnoticed here. What we're doing to our children is absolutely ridiculous. But this, if you get a chance to see it, it's just one of those moments where you realize, human beings have reached some level of peak absurdity. We have lost the capability to thoroughly think through a problem. See, now here's the problem, too. When you look at this video as these kids are clasped back to back, locking their arms to dance, air quoting dance there, They're all on the dance floor, which means that each person is actually facing another couple as they move round and around. I think we've just reached that tipping point. I don't know if the dinosaurs went through something similar to this, where they just were too dumb to survive. A lot of people point to an asteroid that hit that caused the dinosaurs to go extinct, but I'm not really sure. Maybe they just got to a point. Maybe they had social justice warriors out there. Maybe they had health authorities that told them that eating leaves was bad. I don't know what happened, but maybe this is an extinction level event when you cannot think your way through any of these things. There's a headline: India and Israel have released a 30-second COVID test. I think that's probably going to work out this way. Here's how it works. You take the test. They look around the room for a couple of seconds. They go, yeah, you got COVID. I mean, there's no reason to drag out a false positive. Let's just go ahead and get this, rip off the Band-Aid, just tell everybody that they've got COVID. I do have one clip on this I wanted to play, and I'm going to get off of COVID today. Really, just between the Texas A&M game and then seeing this video of these kids locking back-to-back at a dance. And look, there was a parent recording this, and then they show his face where he just looks like, you just look at him and he thinks, this is insane. But a whole lot of adults were involved in this dance, right? There were principals, there were teachers, there were all kinds of people that were actually involved in setting the policies for this dance to have them undertake this exercise. And these are educators. These are people educating our children. So it's you know, I certainly never look down at the children here. And it's the same thing I say about millennials or young socialists or social justice warriors. Everybody looks down at the millennial generation. I say, you know, they had to come from somewhere. They didn't land here from another planet. Who the hell's been raising these kids? We've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, and just to add to that, I am a self-hating millennial. I hate that term. I hate the term, and I hate the status I am, but there's nothing else I can do but maybe just try to make it better. But
I've had several millennials on this show just as refreshing people. I know some fantastic millennials. I think your generation is tarred and feathered unjustifiably because the noisiest of you are the ones that get all the attention, and it just looks like your generation's off the hook, I mean off the rails, but I know a lot of good millennials, so don't feel bad.
Okay, good. Well, that's great to hear. Not to get your Monday off to a bummer start, but this weekend, my neighbor told me a story that someone at his church had a really bad car accident, and they went to the hospital just for a follow-up or something. And upon their initial visit to the hospital, they were tested for COVID, even though they didn't have any symptoms, and they were literally just there for like a, you know, an arm injury to, after the car incident, and then they were notified that they were positive for COVID. So it's like, wow, I mean, it just seems like they're really looking for these false positives out there to get the reimbursements that are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's interesting. We won't talk about what hospital it was, but that is interesting. I don't know if that's how it works, but do they just, anybody that comes in, you test them for COVID, and then all of a sudden they're listed a COVID patient and they're $13,000 extra in compensation. I mean, there are financial incentives to doing this stuff. So
later it was determined to be a COVID related accident. I'm not sure about that, but it just seems it really makes sense. I mean, why not just test everybody that enters a hospital or any basically public forum with a government office? Let's just keep this going and see how many people we can test and how many false positives we can get if it's,
yeah,
I mean, that's their mantra at this point. But the dinosaur analogy is interesting that you brought up, but the signal interference is kind of blocking me up. But, I also wonder if some dinosaurs, if they were extinct because of, over spending on stimulus packages.
Right.
It just seems like, Trump is, we can basically end our financial future in one fell swoop with another COVID package.
Oh, yeah. And it's coming. And it's coming, and it's going to be bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger by the day. The Republicans and Donald Trump holding firm on nothing, absolutely nothing, and giving more and more money. So, yeah. It's
And I would like to support libertarian causes. So if you're comfortable giving out the location of your parking lot for the state fair, I'd be happy to support that work. if it's somewhere nearby and I just have to drive by, that's fine too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I'll let you know. I'm not sure if we're doing it this year. The reason being, with the COVID restrictions, I've got to find out what the crowd's like. We didn't do anything this past weekend because the weather washed us out. But we'll be seeing. And if that's the case, I should give that out. I should try to pump up my lot. I'm an overflow lot. Now, what I'm worried is that they've restricted the number of people that can go to the fair to where the crowds aren't going to be as big as they are, as they have been. So we're still waiting to see.
Okay. Well, that sounds great.
Hey,
well, keep up the great work.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, I got one clip, too, on COVID stuff. As I say, I'm not going to spend the whole show on it today. It's just some funny stuff. This was Bill Gates was on Anderson Cooper on CNN, still trying to stoke it. And I think what's the most telling about this thing is at the very end of this clip, you'll hear what Bill Gates says there. They're talking about Donald Trump coming out and saying he was cured of this thing, and he's touting remdesivir and the Regeneron product and all that. Well, Bill Gates sees it a little differently.
You've talked about some of the sophisticated tools, the therapeutics that are coming and that some are here. Can you just talk a little bit? I mean, let's talk about Regeneron. You've been optimistic about it. It got obviously a big endorsement from President Trump because he was able to receive it. He's calling it a cure. He's calling on regulators to give it emergency use authorization. Do you support the idea of the emergency use authorization? And I assume it's not a cure.
No, the word cure is a bit of an overpromise. You know, that makes it sound, it looks like works for everyone, and the whole concern about
here it comes,
this disease should go away. And that's the last thing we want people to think about.
That's true. That's the guy that makes, as I played the clip before, he makes a 20-to-1 return on every dollar that he puts into vaccines. He makes $20. The last thing he says, you hear the way he actually stresses that. I should play it again. The last thing he wants anybody to consider is that there is a cure for COVID and we don't have to worry about it anymore. That tells you all you need to know right there. When I come back, I'm going to take a quick break to the WHO. The WHO has finally come around on lockdowns, and it's very interesting. I'll play this clip in a second. If you know Thomas Dobbs, tell him to tune in, or Tate Reeves. Mississippi not known for great wealth in this state. We certainly have a poverty problem, and the WHO, at least, the WHO, maybe they don't recognize it in downtown Jackson, but the lockdowns and all the restrictions actually make the poor poorer. How about that? Who could have seen that coming? We'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Talk about markets, stock markets not liking uncertainty. They will tell you this constantly on the financial news networks. And while I think that's true, what's interesting to me is in probably the most uncertain time in American history, we've got a contentious election with no result even guaranteed. I don't think we've ever headed into an election with more people suspecting that there's going to be either hanky-panky, outright fraud, or at least a lot of confusion and lawsuits and maybe we're wrong. Let's hope we are. But certainly there's a lot of people that suspect that. There's evidence that that could happen. That certainly is uncertain. We've got COVID. We've got what people are trying to pump up into a third wave here in the country. The UK is now locking down people. Israel's been locking down people. Australia's gone completely off the rails. These are concerning to me. As Western countries, you feel like they're more democratic in nature, where people have some levels of freedom. I mean, Israel, England, Australia, these are kind of our running buddies, right, for Western society. They have got draconian lockdowns going on. And it's just fascinating to me. The market keeps going up. You know why that is? Because the market no longer cares about the uncertainty for the people as long as they know that the Federal Reserve is there. to pump fresh cash out into the financial market, straight into Wall Street. If you want to know what Fed printing of money is, essentially it is this. It's a giant spigot. When they turn it on, Wall Street has a giant bucket there. But, you know, when you fill up a bucket with really, really high-pressure water coming out of something, little drops pop up out the top of it, right? We're on the ground underneath there with our thimbles trying to catch a few of those little drops. Wall Street's just filling up buckets. Twitter, I see, is actually leading the charge today in the NASDAQ, which is just fascinating to me. I am not a tweeter. Another Silicon Valley company that I think is just destroying this country, their platform, like anything else, it's a tool. It could be used for good, but it's not. It's used, I mean, I don't know anything, any other medium out there that stokes more hate between citizens of the United States than Twitter does. Go find any Trump tweet, Biden tweet, it doesn't matter. Any national person that makes a comment on Twitter, go look at the hate. Anyway, Twitter's doing really well. It's been interesting to watch. More and more people have seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix. I think it's also available on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. There are some problems with the documentary. It's done from a left-wing view. You know, I think the people that made this thing have got suspicions that disinformation's getting out into the web about, you know, challenging climate change. It's definitely comes, but the core of it is that these social media companies, you know, they don't let their kids use these tools because they know how damaging they are, yet they've unleashed them on 330 million Americans, and I imagine the vast majority of people use one form or another of social media. But anyway, it's turning out really well for Twitter. Their stock, I'm looking at their six-month chart. They've done exceedingly well. I keep asking why the hell Trump doesn't just leave Twitter and go over to Parlay, I think is another format. He could build another company that does not censor and is not left-wing Silicon Valley. He could do that overnight, yet for some reason he refuses to do so. Anyway, in the uncertainty world, everybody is concerned with more lockdowns this fall as they keep pumping the twindemic of the flu and COVID. I have never seen a push harder on flu shots, and yet I keep seeing stories that show research from not just recently, but years and years ago, showing that respiratory illness, actually you increase your chance of getting that if you have a flu shot first. Nobody seems to be paying attention to that, but as we all wonder about lockdowns, the WHO has reversed course, or maybe they've finally realized what so many of us have been screaming for so long, that lockdowns will create many, many more problems than they will solve. Well, the WHO's finally figuring that out. I guess the statistics are in, so somebody please forward this to Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs should they dare think about another round of stay-at-home orders.
But we had Professor Sunetra Gupta from Oxford University on, and she was implying, and I'm interested in you because you have a global mandate, a global view, was that a problem we don't think about in lockdowns is that they're very nationalistic, that if we lock down our economy, then it hits our economy. But it also means we are not buying stuff, we're not trading with weaker economies, we are not just destroying our own jobs, we're destroying the jobs of all those that in the poorer parts of the world that export to us. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Duh. That's my duh. Now, I don't know. I would have to go back and look, and I don't know if I have the energy or interest because it's all basically water under the bridge now. Has the WHO been saying this the entire time? Now, I'm no big fan of the WHO for any reason at all. But, I mean, is this a conclusion they've just come to? Oh, look at that. Destroying the lives and the jobs of 50 million Americans here in the United States, turns out that's not good for them economically. Huh. What a big leap. So I don't know. Maybe does this affect anything? Does this actually mean that Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs here and leaders across the nation will not do lockdowns? I'm hesitant because, as I just said, Israel, Great Britain, Australia, all right now doing draconian lockdowns. New York City now reclosing some of their places, some of their boroughs in New York, they're declaring as hot spots and shutting things down. Those poor businesses that might have finally seen a light at the end of the tunnel found out it was a train. So I don't know if this affects it. I got to tell you, I have PTSD from this whole thing. I'm just waiting for them to come in and say, well, the case count has gotten so high, we're scared our hospitals will be overstretched. And we can't allow that, so they put in another round of restrictions. But it is fascinating, you know, this weekend I also ran across a video of a couple of women. Their whole job, these two women, they've kind of hooked up since this COVID mess has been out there. Their whole job was to go around. I can't play the clip. It's too long, and it was kind of hard to clip any big meaty segments of it condensed into just a couple of minutes, but their entire job was to go around to corporations and to places and to hospitals and advise them on PPE stuff. Their whole job was around containing infectious diseases in settings where it was necessary to wear masks. That was their whole job for years and years and years. And they heard about these mask mandates and they just looked around and said, what are you talking about? This won't work. Our whole life is about advising people on when and how and what kind of mask to wear, when it is appropriate to wear it in a setting. They said, we would never, ever. These masks are completely pointless. These are people who make their whole lives around. These two women actually would go to hospitals and they would train nurses and doctors who didn't know any mask science. These two women are mask scientists, apparently. And they would go and teach the doctors and the nurses. And they would tell these doctors and nurses how to use them in a clinical setting, but realize they absolutely provide no protection, do absolutely nothing out in the general population. Yet it's very funny to me. The doctors and nurses, I guess they got the training from these people, now believe they know more than the teacher and are going around screaming about these masks. I may post that. I'm out on Gab now. You know, I left Facebook, so I can post the interview to my Gab page, and maybe a person will see it. I'm out in these social media wastelands out on Gab. Someday I'll be a trailblazer. Someday people will finally catch on to Facebook, and Gab may get a following. But anyway, you might want to take a look at that. They were interviewed. It was by Del Bigtree. He does Highwire. He's somebody about vaccine safety, does a lot of stuff for that. I have a lot of respect for Del Bigtree. He also did some great videos on the carbon monoxide that builds up in the masks with some kids. He put them in masks and then put a carbon dioxide detector up into the mask to see what levels the readings would be. Holy cow. What we are doing to our children. If we were dumb before, maybe this is why the teachers and the parents and the administrators at that school thought it was appropriate to have kids go to a high school dance and dance back to back with their arms interlocked. Because these same parents and these administrators and the teachers who signed off on this nut job idea of a dance for their children had probably been wearing masks for so long that they've choked off their brains from oxygen. All night with the
king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is currently in front of Congress. I guess we'll get the clips from the Democrats. You know, there is nothing more abhorrent to me than watching these people up behind the mahogany walls there, sitting high in their seats, looking down upon the person being questioned in these testimonies. Have you ever seen a larger group of people, and you understand, if you listen to the show at all, I'm an observer, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm an independent libertarian guy, so I hold no allegiance to anybody, but I can't imagine a group that has screwed stuff up more than the U.S. Congress, bipartisanly. The system that we have right now, be it financial, be it domestic, be it foreign policy, whatever it is, this body of people between the Senate and the House of Representatives, during my lifetime, the last 50 years, has made such a catastrophic mess of anything, it really kind of cracks me up to watch them sit in judgment of anybody. I mean, these people with such abhorrent track records on damn near everything they touch, somehow are in this position where they grandstand and grill other people about what they might do. They question their records. I have said for a long period of time, there needs to be a flipping of the script when it comes to these kinds of hearings in Washington, D.C. And we should have the average American back behind the mahogany walls, sitting up high in the room in their leather chairs, grilling these Congress critters in both parties that have given us the mess that is now the United States, approaching banana republic stature. I mean, you look at the 1900s, the 20th century. Look at what America accomplished. We came from behind the pack. I mean, a real Cinderella story. It came out of World War II. It was a major manufacturing thing. Free markets in such a short period of time. Capitalism and free markets in the United States put us on top of the world financially, and we built this giant middle class economic activity, the greatest growth and wealth and standard of living that the world had ever seen occur during the 20th century in the United States. And yet somehow, these Congress critters in both parties had us leave 1999 heading into the new millennium bankrupt and broke. Now, we're broker now than we were then, but it is really quite astounding to see that they could take something that was doing so great and somehow derail it and destroy it, and yet they get to sit up behind these big mahogany panels, get their TV time, grilling other people, baseball players for using steroids. I don't use steroids, but I got to tell you, if you want to look at national problems, it was the people asking the questions that create the biggest problems in this country. It wasn't a couple of baseball players that juiced. That was an issue for baseball owners, baseball league, and fans to make up their own decisions. But Congress has to weigh in on this. If I'm making my point right, there is not a more discredited group of people in the United States, I don't believe, than our political class, most particularly in Washington, D.C., yet somehow we allow them to sit as judges to question everybody else's record. If you appear in front of Congress, they're going to really dig into your background, ask you about every mistake you've ever made, every misstep, everything is you possibly might do wrong in the future. They sit as these judges. Nobody ever judges them. We don't even judge them at the ballot box by and large. I think incumbents get reelected at something like 94 or 96% because, again, we've lost our ability to think. But it is so maddening to even see the exercise of these people, of all people. Look, there are organizations that do a lot of good out there in the world. People who work very hard in both in private industry and nonprofits. There's a lot of very good people out there working very hard to accomplish goals out there. Congress is not one of those. Our political class is the worst of the worst when it comes to the United States. And to see them judge Amy Comey Barrett or anybody else for that matter is absolutely laughable if you really stop and think about it. These Congress critters, these senators, they should be the ones that are behind the table, and the American people should be able to ask them some questions and grill them. That would be something I would tune in to see. I'll be right back. All
night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I don't know how many of you know that yesterday was the NBA Finals game. The Lakers apparently won the championship. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't watch pro basketball, have not really for years. I used to be a huge Lakers fan in the days of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. I mean, it was kind of much more good-natured than it is this year or during these times. But it used to be quite a rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers as I was growing up. You know, my friends, some would be Celtics fans. I was a Lakers fan. We kind of, you know, jabbed each other. It was exciting. It was fun to watch. The Lakers won last night, and it kind of happened in the background, which was really quite entertaining. The NBA just really having stepped all over itself, particularly with its social justice warrior stuff. I want to see if I can find this clip. Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh had hold on a second. I can't type and talk at the same time. Not the greatest typist. Rush Limbaugh had Trump on I think it was Friday. Was it Friday? No, it might have been Thursday. To co-host the show, it was like a virtual Trump rally. And there's a couple of comments that were made that I wanted to get into today. I've got plenty of bashing Joe Biden and some of the left stuff. Keith Olbermann is making a reappearance. He's left sports again to come back into political talk. And boy, he certainly didn't waste any time going completely off the rails when it comes to comes to Donald Trump and Trump supporters, so we'll play that too. But Donald Trump made a couple of comments, during his appearance on Rush that I got to tell you, I've got problems with. This was Trump, which I thought was kind of funny. At first, when I heard him say this, I was like, it's one of these things Trump says that he doesn't need to say. But then he kind of backed it up and became a little bit of a human being about it. Anyway, it turned out to be funny. Rush asked him about the NBA and professional sports that have taken the social justice warrior stance.
NBA commissioner, they're going to pull their Black Lives Matter messaging next year. No longer going to be on the uniforms, no longer going to be on the basketball court. They're no longer going to. And I wonder why that is, Mr. President.
Because their ratings have died.
Oh, nobody, I wouldn't have known.
I haven't watched a basketball game, and I helped them get open. I haven't watched a basketball game.
You tried to help them. You tried to help the NFL.
I tried to help the NFL, and then Roger, nice guy, Goodell, in his basement wearing a very tight blue T-shirt, you know, and he's not meant for it, nor am I, nor are you. It's just one of those things, you know, at a certain age you put on a tie, right? But what happens is...
That kind of cracks me up. Now, if he had just pointed to Roger Goodell and made fun of his body by not throwing in the other things, it would have been kind of nasty. But I found that actually to be kind of humorous. He said, you know, at a certain age, you just put on a tie and you get out of the tight T-shirts. I have several things here. I should go into. I've got just a couple of minutes left here. I'm gonna go completely off topic for 1 second because I don't know how to have time for this later. Mike Pompeo also made a statement. I don't like it when my show doesn't flow from one thing directly into another, but I know I'm not going to have time for this, and it just drives me absolutely nuts. Here's how stupid Mike Pompeo thinks you are. This is our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, the former CIA guy. It's the consummate swamp creature that Donald Trump put into the State Department. Mike Pompeo made this statement. The most important thing that President Trump did was recognize that the nuclear deal was dumb. He's talking about Iran. It was bad for America, that it presented real risk. And so he ripped America out of that back in May of 2018. Since then, we have taken a fundamentally different approach to stability in the Middle East. We recognize the Islamic Republic of Iran as the greatest threat to that peace. And then he says this, the greatest threat, frankly, to Americans all across this great country. And so we have put enormous costs on the regime itself. This is how stupid Mike Pompeo thinks you are and how I see them just gearing up to this war with Iran should Donald Trump get reelected or Joe Biden get reelected. I'm going to talk a little bit about that next hour. But Mike Pompeo actually said the greatest threat, frankly, to Americans all across this great country. This is warmongering propaganda to you. And I made a little list here. Do you know some threats to you that are actually greater than Iran? When it comes to Americans in this country, the medical system kills 250,000 Americans every single year. Medical mistakes, pharmaceuticals, properly prescribed pharmaceuticals, I believe, kill 200,000 people per year because of the side effects. Ticks. What's more dangerous to you in the United States than the country of Iran, even though Mike Pompeo says, the greatest threat, frankly, to Americans all across this great country. No, you have more to fear from a tick. You get Lyme disease or something else. You have more to fear, and I encourage you to go home tonight and take a look at it because this is some scary stuff. You have more to fear from the bathtub in your bathroom in this country than you do from the country of Iran. But Mike Pompeo, the consummate swamp creature, warmongering piece of human filth, is out there trying to convince us now that we all have something to fear here in the United States from the country of Iran. Truly despicable. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Jot that number down because I may need your help today as I try to make it through. Well, I may need your help every day trying to explain to me exactly what's going on. We're headed, 3 weeks, something like that, away from this election. I don't know if that means we're 3 weeks away from finding out who wins the presidency or if we are still months away from finding out who wins, but the election is just a few weeks away, and so I may need some advice from the listening audience because I'm not sure how to do today's show or shows going forward into the election. I understand anybody who votes for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. And what I'm about to talk about now does not make me a Biden voter. People are so black and white. It's really quite fascinating to me to see that people don't understand that you have to vote for one of the two major parties or vote at all. Gasp. I completely get the Trump voter. Trump said some things on Rush Limbaugh's show. And look, I'm going to do some. I'll go ahead and do some right now. I'm going to do some Joe Biden bashing. Try to get a little bit of a running start into this next segment. I should issue one of my traditional trigger alerts here because I don't understand what exactly people are fighting for right now. This was Joe Biden. He just refuses to answer this question on stacking the courts, and it's really quite fascinating to watch. I mean, are Democrats this stupid? Of course. I mean, this is one of those things that's really kind of annoying to me. I watch several of the Sunday shows where even the left-wing media, I think this might have been on Meet the Press, about This Week with George Stephanopoulos. I think he had Jonathan Carl subbing for him, but they were asking Democrat representatives, Democratic people attached to the Joe Biden campaign about stacking the courts. They would not answer the question. They did what politicians do, and they tried to twist it into something else. Well, the real question, you know, they would say, is Joe Biden going to stack the courts? Why won't he answer that question? Well, the real question is, you know, they would answer with some bizarre, they just would not allow themselves to say it. And again, I don't understand why they don't just say no and then just lie about it and then flip around and do it. Politicians lie. I don't know why they're guarding this one so carefully, but this was Joe Biden when he was asked if Americans deserve an answer on whether or not he's going to stack the Supreme Court.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts, and I know that sure. You said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election, but this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
No, they don't deserve to know. Listening to these clips where everybody is masked up and you can hear it on here just brings a whole nother level of absurdity to it. I mean, it's just, what has happened to this country? What has happened to the United States? But Joe Biden is a walking disaster, a senile, frail, corrupt, establishment, lifelong political parasite on the American system. Okay? You understand where I stand on Joe Biden? I will not be casting any votes for Joe Biden, but I do have to question what the other side is fighting for. Now, again, I understand the Trump voter. It's the Trump support. I look at these things and say, what exactly is it that I'm missing about Donald Trump? And that's why I gave out the phone number. Maybe people can explain to me. Again, if you want to call up and say, look, you have to vote for Donald Trump because we don't want Joe Biden as president, I'm with you there. It's the flags. It's the, and look, I'm pretty alone even at this radio station. Most people very, very vocally, very positive with Donald Trump, that he's the greatest president we've ever had. This was Donald Trump, a couple of these clips from the Rush Limbaugh show. I'm somebody who talks a lot about the spending. As I started this show with that quote from Brandon Smith saying that one of the most amazing things is the aggressive ignoring of the financial situation of the United States. I don't ignore it. It's dire. And just because nothing has happened yet and somehow we've been able to put $27 trillion on the Treasury books in debt, and somehow we've got another $7 trillion on the Fed books in debt, and we've got $100 trillion stacked up behind that of unfunded liabilities that the U.S. is responsible for. I don't know how we're still going right now, but at some point that will end, and it is going to be incredibly ugly. So I would think, if, as a conservative voter, if you really wanted to be fired up and excited about a candidate, you would think it would be somebody that might be doing something about the spending. We've had this back and forth between Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump on other stimulus stuff. And originally, the Republicans said no new stimulus. And then they came out and they said $500 billion in stimulus. Donald Trump, the great negotiator that he is, came out and said just end all of the discussions on that. And he reversed that within a couple of hours and said, let's get checks out to everybody. The Republicans have come up to $1.8 trillion right now. The Democrats, I think, are sitting at $2.2 trillion. Again, money we do not have. This money does not exist. It will have to be created, which will dilute every dollar that you've got in your wallet. And you would think conservative people would want a president and a party to represent them that is not actively destroying the middle class. Donald Trump said this on Rush Limbaugh's show when asked about the stimulus.
I would like to see a bigger stimulus package, frankly, than either the Democrats or the Republicans are offering. I'm going in the exact opposite now, okay? I mean, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you something I don't tell anybody else, because maybe it helps or maybe it hurts negotiations. I would like to see a bigger package.
He wants a bigger stimulus package than even the Democrats want. So again, see, I couch this, and I understand voting for Trump. It is the allegiance to a president that is really participating in the bankrupting of our country. You understand that your children and grandchildren are the ones that will suffer the consequences of this. My children will suffer the consequences. How do I fly a Trump flag knowing that the guy I'm cheering on is one that is actively destroying the futures of my children? Now, yes, Joe Biden is a train wreck. He may be worse on spending than Donald Trump is, but to be honest with you, I'm not completely sure about that. No, that'll trigger some people, won't it? When you look at the amount of money that was spent, even when we had so-called the greatest economy the world had ever seen, we were spending record amounts of money. Trump went on to say a lot of people are being hurt. As he's talking about the stimulus here. I would like to see a bigger stimulus package, frankly, than either the Democrats or the Republicans are offering. I would like to see money going to people. It was not their fault. Now, the fault of what's happened has been the politicians, including the ones that Donald Trump gave the podium to for an hour a day for 3 or 4 months, and Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, as they came out and started this ridiculous lockdown stuff. I don't think Donald Trump gets absolution because now he says we need to open up. He wanted to open up quickly to get the economy back on track because he's got an election coming up. But this idea that we send money to people because it's not their fault, boy, does this open up a lot of avenues for more and more socialism and more people on the government dole. How is it somebody's fault if their business goes under and they are laid off? How is it somebody's fault if, I mean, a lot of the things that happen to people financially when it comes to employment are not that individual's fault. Coronavirus is no different there. The one thing on this is that you can lay, there is somebody to blame on this, and it's completely on the middle class for shutting down our economy. And Donald Trump had the chance to play leader of Sweden, who took in all of the medical advice and came out and said, we are not going to destroy our country and our economy with a bunch of lockdowns. Now, if a governor here or there, or a mayor here or there wanted to destroy themselves, destroy their own economies within their states, then their voters would look nowhere but that governor or that mayor. But Donald Trump allowed the podium to be handed over to, again, Fauci and Birx and Redfield from the CDC for months on end. And that's what led to these lockdowns, originally the 15 days to flatten the curve. And so I look at that. I'm going to come back. There was another quote that was made on the Rush Limbaugh show by Donald Trump. And what I'm searching for here is a reason to really enthusiastically support Donald Trump. I understand the vote against Joe Biden. I'll tell you this about the Democrats. As crazy as they have gotten, at least they're not enthusiastic about Joe Biden. They're just all anti-Trump. There are no Biden signs. There are no Biden flags. Oh, there might be one or two here or there, but they know that what they're getting. This idea that I should be completely on the Trump train when I get to this next statement. Oh, my gosh. And look, again, Biden is a walking train wreck. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I can't stand the Democrats, though. I've got more clips today. Stay with me. I'll make you feel better because I've got a bunch of clips of some nutty left-wing stuff. The left right now is a clear and present danger to this country. So gun to my head, I wanted to decide the fate of the United States between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's not even a choice. You vote for Donald Trump. But boy, I wish people would concentrate on making Trump a little bit better, because you've got a president right now. Again, he wants a bigger stimulus package than even the Democrats want. And this is not the first time these kinds of things have happened, but this next quote is one that really kind of set me off. If you know my posture on American foreign policy, both under Donald Trump and Barack Obama and George Bush and Bill Clinton and Bush before him, our foreign policy is absolutely terrible. Donald Trump's is a little bit better in some areas, markedly worse in other areas. He made a comment on Rush Limbaugh that really triggered me. You'll find out in just a second. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I'll be honest with you. I think that conservatives, people who consider themselves patriots, are asleep at the switch. That's what I think. That's not a wildly popular or widely held belief, for sure. No doubt about that. But I just call them as I see them, and maybe I'm wrong. I've given out the phone number, 601-879-0002, if you look at it. So Donald Trump wants a bigger stimulus package than even the Democrats want. This is what's coming up next, apparently, when it comes to the government growing larger and putting money into citizens' pockets. See, the government should just get out of the way, leave us alone. We would rebuild ourselves, but they just cannot do that, particularly in an election year. And then there was this. I can't play the clip of it because Trump dropped an F-bomb on the Rush Limbaugh show when he was on there. But Trump was very popular in 2016 and enthusiastically got my vote in 2016, because he's going to get us out of Middle Eastern wars. But on Thursday or Friday on the Rush Limbaugh show, when he was co-hosting, he said this, quote, I guess Rush Limbaugh, the neocon warmonger who sold you every single war that the U.S. has been involved in as this idea that patriotism is being able to go around the world and beat up on weaker countries. This is what Rush Limbaugh has sold you for years and years. This is the Rush Limbaugh that told you that John McCain was the clear and obvious choice in 2008 and that Mitt Romney was your golden boy in 2012. Rush Limbaugh sold you on every single war. He continues to do it. But somehow he jumps on the coattails of Donald Trump, who has called into question these wars, and somehow Rush Limbaugh gets a pass on all these because now he's a Trump fan. So to stoke more of this foreign policy fear and this warmongering, Rush Limbaugh asked Donald Trump about Iran, and this is what Donald Trump said back. They've been put on notice. If you F around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before. Now, I'm telling you right now, we are being set up, and I don't know who wins this election. I'll be honest with you. I have no earthly idea at this point. I don't know if we'll have an honest election. I don't know how a dishonest election will play out. I don't know any of it. I don't know. Everyone's trying to tell me that Trump's poll numbers, and there certainly have been some oversampling of Democrats and some, but again, everybody only believes the polls that reinforce what they already want. All polls are fake except for the ones that show Trump in the lead, and suddenly polls are right. Look at this poll, Mike. This poll shows, and this is the real poll. This is what everybody says, left and right. And the thing about foreign policy stuff, but when Donald Trump campaigns on getting us out of the Middle East, and he puts these crippling sanctions on Iran, more last week, he's encircled them with more troops in different places around the Middle East. He's bringing 2,500 home from Iraq. I think they're already out of Iraq. As a matter of fact, we've left 2,500 there, which is just enough of a foothold that if he loses, Biden can put more troops in there. It won't be starting another war. It won't be reversing everything. It'll just be adding. You know what I mean? It's like we're leaving this footprint everywhere. So if
Donald Trump does leave, he didn't end any single war. We still have troops in Afghanistan. We've got more troops in Saudi Arabia. We're still participating in the war on Yemen. We're still in Syria stealing the oil. We just sent more troops into Syria. Biden might actually be better on Iran because he was part of the peace deal, which I know really triggers a lot of people, but the peace deal was better than what we've got right now, which is looking to go into a hot war after the election if Donald Trump is there. But I don't know. I'm wondering, this is what I struggle with on basically on a daily basis, is how do I actually cheer for? Now, it's one thing, again, I'm going to keep saying this. You have new people tune in. I'm not voting for Joe Biden. I would never, ever pull a trigger for Joe Biden or any of the Democrats that have lost their minds the way the left has lost their minds right now. But how do I do a show praising a guy who told us he would drain the swamp and then hires William Barr, the former CIA and Bush Attorney General, John Bolton, the architect of the Iraq War, Alex Azar, an Eli Lilly executive for Health and Human Services, Alexander Acosta, the guy that gave a tap on the wrist to Jeffrey Epstein. He makes him labor secretary. Mark Esper, our current defense secretary, who's a former Raytheon executive. Mike Pompeo started with the CIA and is quite obviously a wrecking ball of diplomacy. He's a warmonger. Gina Haspel, John Brennan's acolyte at the CIA. Christopher Wray, the swamp creature he put in at the FBI. Steve Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs at Treasury. Gary Cohn from Goldman Sachs as chief economic advisor. And he's got about 40 CFR, Council on Foreign Relations members, in his administration. How do I cheer for that? How do I cheerlead for a president who said for 4 years he was going to purge our government of all the criminals and get rid of all the corruption in the government? And yet there's not been one single arrest of a major player, and yet Julian Assange is rotting away in jail as Trump's administration tries to bring him back to the U.S. to face 130 years in prison, and Edward Snowden is still exiled in Russia, and the government just recently took all of Snowden's money from the book that he wrote. Why am I supposed to cheerlead? How am I supposed to cheerlead for a president that's involved in that? How am I supposed to spin the fact that the billionaire class in the United States has gotten richer than ever during the past 4 years? And Trump's policies, the ones he wants to enact of zero interest rates to negative interest rates, will do nothing but make that class of people richer while the middle class gets crushed. How am I supposed to cheer for that? Again, if you want to vote for Donald Trump, I get that. Joe Biden needs to be stopped. We don't want a President Biden. And if it should happen, then I'm still on these airwaves. You will hear a talk show host ripping Joe Biden and everybody that he brings in with him on a daily basis, because that's what I do. I tear apart our political class here. Donald Trump is part of the political class. So I'm trying to make the distinction here. This is not a day where nuance is really popular, I will admit. You have to either be 100% on board with Donald Trump or 100% against Donald Trump. There is no gray area in between that you can stake. But I live in nuance, and I look at these things objectively because I'm not in love with Donald Trump. I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I'm a conservative guy that would like to see the government shrunk, see our wars ended, see the corruption taken out of our government, and none of these things are happening. Again, I say it looks to me like conservatives and patriots are asleep at the wheel because they've fallen in love. How am I supposed to straddle the fence when candidate Donald Trump, and I enthusiastically supported him then and enthusiastically voted for Donald Trump in 2016 because he came out and he said this stock market is in a big, ugly bubble. And he said that interest rates were too low during the Obama years. But now he says the stock market comeback is the U.S. economy. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened, and we should have negative interest rates that would crush the middle class. How do I enthusiastically support that? How am I supposed to get on board with the president who took office talking to Robert Kennedy Jr. about vaccine safety, was going to set up a commission on these things? I'll still remember seeing RFK come down the elevators in Trump Towers after a meeting with Donald Trump. And now we've got a guy that's pushing a rushed vaccine in Operation Warp Speed and gave $1.2 billion. That is fat taxpayer cash. A lot of people like to talk about the fact he defunded the WHO. I think the amount we sent to the WHO was something like $50 million, maybe $60 million. I could be wrong on that figure. It could be a little bit higher. But he took a small amount from the WHO, which is a good move. I can appreciate that. But then he gave $1 billion to Gavi, which is Bill Gates' vaccine thing. How am I supposed to be a cheerleader for that? What do I say when conservatives largely say that they are against reparations, and then I hear Donald Trump just a couple of weekends go out and say he is going to give the black community access to $500 billion. I'm supposed to enthusiastically cheer for that again. Joe Biden's a walking disaster, must be stopped. But I'm not flying a flag for somebody who goes out and gives $500 billion in light reparations. I would assume most conservative audiences, the idea of conservatism largely is, maybe it's been completely lost. Maybe I'm living in the past. Maybe that's what it is. And I don't understand the morphing that conservatism has undergone. But if my audience are true conservatives and they want smaller government and less government, how do I cover a president who just sent out or is sending out in the next couple of weeks $6.6 billion in gift cards to seniors for their medications, $200 apiece? Right before an election. What would make me fly a flag for that? What would make me put on a bumper sticker for that? Again, Joe Biden needs to be stopped. A vote for Donald Trump is maybe a vote to stop Joe Biden, a worthy cause. Look, I live in Mississippi here. Mississippi's going to go for Donald Trump. We know Mississippi's going to go for Donald Trump. I don't really even have to vote, or I can vote for third party. I can vote my conscience. Woo! It's kind of a nice position to be in. I'd hate to be in a battleground state where I felt like I was forced to vote for one of these two parties. But I find myself at a loss for how I'm supposed to cover a president. Look, I understand. Everybody wants to hear nothing but praise for Donald Trump and hatred for the Democrats on the show. You get one of those. You get the anti-left stuff. The left has lost its mind. But how do I cover a president that said in his State of the Union address that every country should be nationalist like we are? You know, he's a nationalist president, a populist president. He believes in nationalism. He believes in the sovereignty of the United States. And he says in his State of the Union address, every country should be nationalist. They're all sovereign countries. They should all love their own countries. There's nothing wrong with that. Yet, he slaps sanctions on everybody who doesn't do exactly what we say. And he's ordered troops to stay in Syria to steal their oil. We just offloaded some oil that we seized from the Iranians. We're sending the Venezuelans some oil. We just took that oil, piracy at the high seas, took it, and apparently just offloaded a bunch of it in New York City. Am I supposed to ignore all of this stuff just so that everybody thinks I'm a loyal subject to our dear leader? Because none of these things are conservative things. None of these things are small government. None of these things are limited power things. None of these things are what I thought conservatives stood for. The best I can say about Donald Trump right now is he's gotten a good number of conservatives in the courts, and he will destroy the United States slower than Joe Biden will. Is that supposed to inspire some joy and enthusiasm in my heart for him? And if I have any of that little list that I just gave you wrong, please let me know where I'm mistaken. I mean, I can wait. There's a big difference in believing Biden is terrible and voting for Trump to stop Biden. It's another thing to fight for this man, this Donald Trump himself, because what I'm watching is absolutely nutso. And if this is the best that we've got, yes, the Democrats are terrible, but that doesn't make Donald Trump a great president. And yes, the media is an absolutely disgusting bunch, but that does not make Trump the greatest president of all times. When I come back, I'll play you Keith Olbermann's come back. I mean, this is, I'll get you back on board with me as we take a look at the left. I mean, Keith Olbermann is really, I think this clip that I'm about to play is a great illustration of where the left has become. I am for defeating the left. I want none of this collectivist, socialist, accusing everybody of being a racist, the violence, the hatred. I want none of that. And Donald Trump is the option that is opposed to that. So I get voting for be a Trump supporter, but I know what I'm getting with Donald Trump, and it's basically nothing that I want. It's just less of what I really don't want. So I'll play the unhinged left to try to win everybody back. But again, if I'm wrong on my list somehow, if you have a reason that I should be more in love and more on board and I should be flying a flag and bumper stickering my car up with Donald Trump stuff, because that seems to be what everybody's doing. There have got to be people out there listening to me right now who are Trump loyalists that can explain to me exactly what I'm missing about the man. Again, I understand a vote against Joe Biden and for Donald Trump. I get the vote. I don't get what everybody's so darn enthusiastic about. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I'm asking the question, why should I be enthusiastic about Donald Trump? I'm not asking whether I should vote for Donald Trump. I'm not saying I completely understand people who vote for Donald Trump. I'm just using some of these things he said on the Rush Limbaugh show and some other things that have taken place over the last 4 years that have been so discouraging to me. I think the Trump presidency, I think, will end up being, if it's one term or if it continues the same way in the second term, a horribly failed opportunity, a missed opportunity. Because I think Donald Trump was an outsider, and I think his policies would have been really popular in this country had he taken a different tact on these things, had he approached these things differently. But I think I'm just seeing a missed opportunity, and I'm failing to see the enthusiasm. I got a clip from Keith Olbermann, in just a second, to just show you. I mean, the left has lost its mind. I get it. I get that. But does the media being bad, do the Democrats losing their mind, does that make Donald Trump really good? You got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am with you.
All right, what you got?
Well, I have to say on the first piece, I wanted to go back to where you had said before we get on President Trump, where you said the biggest threat to the United States. You know, we have sleeper cells from Muslims in every state in the United States.
Oh, we keep hearing that, but so there have been a million Muslims in this country.
Yes, they haven't woken up and done anything, but there's nobody controlling or taking care or looking over these people. So we have absolutely no security for that. If they wake up at any time, it will be the biggest threat we've ever had. Now, Trump, you had said everything you said is true. Everything that you said is but. When you're going to get sucked down the tube of the left.
Oh no, no.
We have to stop that. That has to stop regardless. So cheerleading is what we have. If what we have to do, they're doing a lot more. They take things a lot further. They go to extremes that conservatives won't do. So we do have to cheerlead this president in. Yes, he is running up the deficit like we've never seen. I don't agree with you on the Iraq war. I don't think he's going to start war. I mean, I have to go on what he says, and he's done what he says he's going to do. Everything that he said he was going to do, he's done.
Well, I think I'd take, for an example, what would you use as a – I know there's a lot of promises made, promises kept. What would those be?
Well, the wall, for one thing. We have over 300 miles of wall now, a new wall, and we've had repair on old wall, which is one of them. The Supreme Court justices, cutting taxes. I mean, a lot of things that he ran on, he has done.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say he's the best president in the world because that's probably a stretch. We can't go back to those times and feel what they felt back in the day. So I think I would say he is the best president of my lifetime. I'm 53.
Really?
I haven't seen a president ever go in and do what they said they were going to do, not even Reagan.
Well, what do you, what is
done? What Trump has said that he was going to do, he's done. He's cut back the regulations. He's done the tax cuts. He's done everything. You know, we know what he's about. Now, sure, there's underlying things that we don't know that's going on that we can't really. I like this, like you said, the reparations thing. I think that's going to be one of Trump's wool over your eyes type thing that he does, that he has control of, that he'll say reparations, but. And I just don't think that's going to happen. The bigger tax cut, I think he's saying that. That's things that he says. It's not things he's doing.
You mean for the bigger stimulus package?
Plan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the bigger stimulus package. Well, I mean.
Bigger stimulus package.
Yeah, this has happened before. There was a negotiation between the Republicans and the Democrats when some of the defense spending was going, and they actually ended up giving the Pentagon more money than they'd even asked for, and the Democrats ended up getting $160 billion, too. Tax cuts are fantastic.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's where the problem is. When Pelosi puts in her stimulus package, she wants to prop up the theaters in their city and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with the stimulus package.
Right, and we've given every bit of that to them for the last 4 years. They've gotten much everything
that
they've wanted.
Some of it. Trump did back off a couple and made them renegotiate. So,
What do you think about tax cuts without any spending cuts? Is that not just a loan against future generations? Isn't that just saddling?
And you're correct on that. Now, I do say he has cut back money on other things, the WHO, the CDC. He's cut back monies that he is paying out that we shouldn't be paying out.
Well, I don't think the CDC has seen any cuts, and I would imagine they're going to see even more in the next budget. But the WHO, like I said, he did defund the WHO. That's fantastic. But then he turned around and gave $1.2 billion to Gavi, which is the Gates Vaccine Initiative.
Right, and then to me, that's one of those things that you have to say, yes, you do need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But if we go down the hole of the left, we're all done.
No, believe me.
You don't even have to worry about your grandkids and your kids. There's no question there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, and that's what I'm saying. The left is gone. I mean, they cannot be trusted with any levers of power. There's absolutely no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. So you and I are in complete agreement with that. It is what are we getting in replace of it? Are we getting something conservative? Are we getting some kind of limited government? Are we getting these other things? Or are we just getting not the left? And that's what I think we're getting, is just not the left. But I see right now a quarter of all income to American people comes from the federal government for the first time ever. It's the highest amount ever. Now,
yeah, and we've got to put a stop to that.
Yeah, well, I don't think we are.
I don't know if we will either, but yeah. The alternative is nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The alternative is the end.
Yeah, I absolutely agree there.
And I think most people realize that. And that's why I think a lot of the people are cheerleading behind Trump, even though, like you said, there's a lot of downsides to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good.
The alternative is the end.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate the call.
Thank you for your show, sir.
Hey, appreciate it. I mean, I think that is, in a nutshell, I don't have any problems with that whatsoever. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people see, and they're clinging to hope of this man. Here's my thing. The thesis of the show is, can we walk and chew gum at the same time? And you can never do that. You cannot elect somebody without holding them accountable and get what you think you're going to get. And the problem is, when people fall in love with a politician, which is what I've seen with Donald Trump, you're forced to ignore a whole lot of things. Look, we do this in interpersonal relationships. You marry a man, you marry a woman. Everybody's got their faults. You minimize those. You ignore them. A lot of times when you first fall in love and you're dating, boy, we can all say this from personal experiences, sometimes you really ignore some big red flags, don't you? But then you get several years down the road, you get into an impending divorce or something goes sideways and you go, oh, man, I should have seen this coming. Why did I not pay more? There are so many things, the tricks in our mind, where when we fall in love with somebody, we just ignore big red flashing signs. Look, I've been in relationships like that. You ever been in one of these relationships and then it falls apart and everyone goes, yeah, I wondered why you were dating her. I wonder why you married her, because, you know, this, that, and the other. I say, why the hell didn't you tell me before I got engaged, before I got married? We've all had this happen. You know, it doesn't matter if it's just a short-term relationship. People go, oh, yeah, I saw that coming from a mile away. I'm that friend. And the only problem is I'm telling you right now, look, there's some big red flags you should be paying attention to. When I come back, I'll play this Keith Olbermann clip because I want everybody to understand I'm on the same wavelength as most people who listen to the show, hopefully even some thinking Democrats who are looking around at their own party and going, oh, my God, what has happened to us? This Keith Olbermann clip, I think, is just so illustrative of exactly how bonkers the left is, that the hate, the absolute hate, as he drags people into this clip and into his little world of just a filthy little world of hate. He drags Amy Coney Barrett into this thing. It is stunning, and this is where the left is. So we'll do that when we come back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, only a few minutes left. Let's play this Keith Olbermann clip. I just can't resist. It is just absolutely amazing. I guess Keith Olbermann was just horrible when he was on the air before. He went back to sports. Now he's back, and these are the pearls of wisdom we have to look forward to now as Keith Olbermann weighs in during election time.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened.
You don't trigger hate. You know, you can say something someone disagrees with. You choose hate in response to it if you want to. And if you could see Keith Olbermann's face, he is infested with hate.
They will not be so easily destroyed. So let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it. And to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus. Remember it. Even as we dream of a return to reality and safety and the country for which our forefathers died, that the fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage and then try to clean up what they left. Remember it, even though to remember it means remembering that the fight does not end November 3rd, but in many ways will only begin that day.
Oh, it's just, it wants to arrest and prosecute Amy Coney Barrett for exactly what? We don't know. Yeah, the hate, I mean, that is pretty much your definition of unhinged right there. It also really, when you listen to that, it's the authoritarianism of the left, this party of love and light. Has devolved into, and you see how the left, with things like communism and socialism, how excited they are about locking up, silencing dissenters, throwing them into the gulags because they don't dare be challenged. That is an unmasking of the left that we've seen over the past year, and I absolutely do believe it does need to be defeated. There's no doubt about that. I only question what we're getting in its stead. Is it worth cheering for, or is it something that just buys us a little time to maybe start working on correcting some of these things? And as I gave you a quote, my quote of the day a couple of weeks ago, it was, the biggest danger to a truly free people is to fall in love with a politician. And that's a Mike Madison quote. It's my own. Because of what I'm seeing right now is we have lost liberties this year. Now, there's a lot of people that will say, well, Trump is the law and order president. He's the law and order guy, and I understand everybody's desire for safety in the streets. What we're seeing in these left-run cities is bonkers, but I don't even know what that means. He's the law and order president. Law and order is a local issue, as it should be. And a lot of these things that have happened during Donald. If Donald Trump was campaigning for the first time right now and saw what was going on and campaigned on law and order, and then he wouldn't allow this kind of stuff in our country, that might be understandable, but it has happened under his watch. Now, I don't want him cracking down on this. People need to just understand. Do you want taxpayer dollars? Do you want to have stuff, money taken out of your check to send to Chicago for law enforcement stuff because Chicago can't get its crap together? I don't. The people of Chicago, unfortunately, are responsible for what happens in Chicago. Ditto Portland, ditto Seattle, ditto New York City. So being the law enforcement, the law and order candidate is expressing support for police. That's all fine and well, but I don't know exactly what we're getting for it. I'm looking at the streets right now. They don't look so sharp. So I understand what everybody's scared of, and everybody is scared of the left, and to you people on the left, you need to understand you're scaring the crap out of everybody, even many people in your own group. I absolutely understand it. There is no chance I get sucked in by the left because of my disagreements with Donald Trump. That's not what happens. I just look at Donald Trump and I say, we could do a whole lot better, and you could actually get Donald Trump to do better himself if people weren't in love with him and actually held him accountable for things and told him tax cuts are great, but spending cuts have to go along with them. There's all kinds of things. I don't have time to get into them today. But Donald Trump could be a lot better, but only if his supporters demanded it. Anyway, that's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic one. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.